For Adventure is a family festival all about groundwater. Activities include a treasure hunt, canoe rides, face painting, hands-on science activities, ice cream aquifers, and much more. Again, that's Aquifer Adventure on Saturday, September 15th from noon to 4 p.m. at the Portland Water Bureau Launch, 16650 Northeast Airport Way in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBU would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by Angel's Donuts and Ice Cream, located on 2805 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland, serving donuts and ice cream every day. Lunch provided by Paradox Cafe at 3439 Southeast Belmont Street. Open for breakfast and lunch every day, serving organic burgers, breakfast, and brunch, and more. Dinner provided by Thai Peacock, located in downtown Portland at 219 Southwest 9th Avenue. Serving Thai comfort food, Thai Peacock is open daily for lunch and dinner. For more information on how you can support KBU, call 877-500-5266 right now.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock. Right to Survive Radio is coming up next.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring an uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
Mike.
Welcome to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm here with your co-host, Ibrahim Mubarak. I'm Lisa Fay. And Ibrahim, what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about, we're here with guests from the PACC, Portland Harvard Community Coalition, and we're talking about the Superfund site and community benefit agreement. And today our guest is...
Hi, everyone. I'm Alejandra Ruiz, the community organizer of Portland Harbor Community Coalition.
And Donovan Smith, media coordinator for Portland Harbor Community Coalition.
And welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And for the people who don't know, you can call in at
503-231-8187 if you have questions for Donovan or Alejandra or us tonight.
Yeah, and this is pledge month also, so get those checks out, get those credit cards, go under your mattress and pull that money out and call us on this toll-free number, 877-500-5266, and or you can go online and click the donate button.
Now back to our show. Alejandra, Donovan, what is PHCC?
Yeah, so PHCC, or Portland Harbor Community Coalition, is a group of individuals and community of color, conservation, environmental justice, labor, public health, and anti-poverty groups all invested in the outcome of the Willamette Superfund site cleanup. And our mission is to elevate the voices of communities most impacted by the pollution in the Portland Harbor Superfund site and to ensure that they benefit from and lead the cleanup, restoration, and redevelopment of the harbor. And what we mean by most impacted communities is we define them as Native Americans, African American, Black, immigrants, refugees, and houses, people, and area residents. So Portland Harbor Community Coalition has been around since 2012, and so we're all about making sure that the impacted voices have a voice during this cleanup process. And with that being said, like, we are here, we also make up the impacted community. So part of our team is like we represent that, and we're here to fight for that. And especially since a lot of marginalized and historically historical communities that have been not been included in these conversations, that's kind of who we're focusing most of the time. So I don't know if that really answered your question about who PHCC is.
Yeah, and you know, the Willamette River is what we're talking about, and the Portland Harbor section, I know sometimes gets confused, but it's a 10-mile stretch of the Willamette River. And so, like Alejandra was saying, you know, these most impacted communities, a lot of times, you know, the city at large doesn't really know what's going on in terms of the cleanup with this Willamette River, but even more so with our communities that Alejandra mentioned, we want to make sure that they are really knowing the real health risks there, but also knowing that they can have a stake in this, like, federally mandated cleanup. You know, it was way back in 2000 that it got designated a superfund, which is just another terminology that, like, people are like, what is a superfund anyway? But it's like, it's a federal program of the Environmental Protection Agency, and it's just of the most toxic sites throughout the country. And so Portland's Willamette River is actually on that list, and that's something I know shocks a lot of people, because it's like, Portland is so known as a green, progressive place, but unfortunately, the sediment, the mud at the bottom of our river is so toxic that, you know, we have to do some real intensive work that's going to cost over $1 billion to remediate. And that's only, you know, it's a cleanup plan that came out last year that we're talking about, and it's gonna take like 13 years to even, like, at the minimum implement that particular cleanup plan. But it's not gonna be a full cleanup of the entire river, not even the Portland Harbor section, but it will get it to a point where the communities who want to access that river and get out there and fish will be much safer than they are right now. And you know, there has been a deep severing of connection to that river because of how much pollution has affected it. And so we want to make sure that we continue to return to that river. And so, yeah.
So you use the word Superfund, mm-hmm. and you say the river's toxic and there's a disconnection. How did the river become so toxic for the government to say that it should be called a Superfund?
Yeah.
And can you say again what river we're talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about the Willamette River. We're talking about a 10-mile stretch, 10 to 11-mile stretch, stretching from Broadway Bridge up through the Fremont, up through St. John's, and through Sovies Island. So it's a pretty long stretch there along the Willamette. But you know, there was a point not even that long ago where the Willamette was pristine. Like, you know, there were communities here who had used this river for centuries and were able to recreate there, catch the fish there, and had established a relationship with it for a long, long time. You know, as more people started to look at the area that we're calling Oregon now, and tried to look at it at, in terms of establishing profit. You know, they were able to build things like ships and build steel mills and paper mills and all kinds of different industries were kind of like setting up shop along the river for these last like 100 years, and there wasn't a whole lot of checks and balances in terms of like how much dumping was happening into the river, whether we're talking human waste, whether we're talking about whatever waste was coming out of their facilities, you know, dumping the ships that they were building with lead paint, you know, dumping whatever runoff from their activities along the river. And it was just kind of like, you know, it got to a point where even the water itself was dangerous to be in. You know, now because of like the Big Pipe project, which I don't know how many of our listeners know about the Big Pipe, but it happened a few years ago. The city kind of led the charge on that, and taxpayers funded it largely. But you know, it now offsets a lot of that pollution, human waste, and whatnot that comes into the river. So the water quality itself is way cleaner than it was like just even a decade ago. You know, when there's heavy rainfall, and it's funny that we're talking about rainfall now because the rain kind of got back on today.
Rain.
Yeah, but you know, when there's real heavy downfall, like there still can be some runoff that gets into the river. But the water quality itself is much cleaner than it's been. But the sediment, the bottom of the river, is very, very toxic. And we're talking about these fish. We're talking about, you know, when people cast their lines in there and they're catching the fish that live there, catching the bass, catching a crappie, the catfish, what have you, they're exposing themselves to all kinds of things, and we haven't really named it, but they're exposing themselves to like cancers and other health risks, and it's so bad that like, you know, you have a woman who's of childbearing age right now, and she happens to eat that fish, you know, she could be causing long-term damage, lifelong damage to a fetus there. Yeah. So yeah. It's really, really bad. And there are still thousands and thousands of people out there who are catching the fish even today.
Mm-hmm. So
503-231-8187 is the call-in number. If you have any concerns, any questions you want to ask us, or any input, please call in. We'll welcome you. Now, you said the river is dirty. Let's put it simple. Dirty water. You know, not dirty rice, but dirty water. It's dirty. It's filthy. It's toxic. So this summer, they had an event called what? The boat float? The big float?
The big
something.
Float. Uh-huh.
And why were they telling people, letting people jump in that dirty, toxic, deranged looking water?
Yeah, so that's headed up by the Human Access Project, the Big Float, and like for the last 8 years now, people have been getting out there, accessing the river. You know, and a big part of that is, like I said, the water quality itself has improved way beyond what it was even like a decade ago. That doesn't mean that it's completely clean. Like even when people get out there and take a dip, like Human Access Project is telling people you still probably want to rinse off when you get into the river. So that there's like this strong like message that we're having to get out there to people, like, of, you know, the river is still very toxic. You know, it's still very toxic, and you know, it presents a lot of health risk, and we need to, you know, while we want people to continue to like build a relationship or reestablish a relationship with the river as it does get cleaner, we have to make sure that we're balancing the message and letting people know the real life dangers, because like I said, there are still thousands of people who are fishing in the Portland Harbor alone, which that there are people fishing past the Portland Harbor as well, which I'll get into later, that are exposing themselves to health risks too. So
I have a concern. If people are fishing and a lot of the fish are getting their sustenance from the bottom of the river, if people are wading in the river, aren't they kicking up the toxins in the sediment and exposing themselves that way to them?
Yeah, I mean, like, when you go out there to even, like, a cathedral park, like you're saying, and you got people kind of playing in the beachy areas over there, that is, like, the sediments of the river, and the more the shore kind of gets exposed as it kind of washes away, that's more of the sediments and whatnot, and people are still exposing themselves to different things. Things get released as you're kind of, like, digging those things up. So, yeah, it's a real-life concern. It's something where, you know, on one hand, like, you have cleaner water itself, and it's still not, like, pristine. It's not what it was like when I was talking about Native Americans who had been mm-hmm. here for a long time and had pristine water. But, you know, if you are recreating in ways beyond just being in the water, there's still some real life things that you have to be cognizant of. And I think a lot of people aren't, you know, you taking consideration alone just with the fish. You have these signs that are lined along the river, and they're telling people don't eat these bass, don't eat these crappie, whatnot. But a lot of times people walk right past them. Sometimes they're not even really visible. So that as the most major health concern, like, people are ignoring that. And then, you know, I know internally with the coalition, we've talked about, like, how many signs you see out there addressing the other health risks, like what you were just talking about. I was just out there at Cathedral Park last weekend, I believe it was, and I don't recall seeing anything telling people to be cautious around digging up sediment along the shore there. So
we're going to go to a pledge break. If you want to call into the show and have a question for any one of us, the number is 503-231-8187. And we're going to go to the pledge drive.
Thank you so much, Lisa and Ibrahim. This is your community radio station. I'm Dell, and I am here to remind you that KBOO is in its fall membership drive, and the number to call to give your support to KBOO is 877-500-5266. You may also go online at kboo.fm. Folks, the thunder is actually roaring right now because the skies are with us, and they know right now is the time. This is a sign for you to call 877-500-5266 and pledge right now your support for your community radio station, for Right to Survive Radio. Where else do you get the kind of information that you receive here on Right to Survive Radio? This is why you tune in to KBOO, because you are ready for the information. What is actually happening with the Willamette River, except for the big float? Yes, folks, we are being encouraged to swim in the river, but are we really aware of all of its history and what is actually happening and how it's impacting all the populations that live alongside a river, including the houseless population? And this is the kind of focus that you get to hear on KBOO and nowhere else. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to pledge your support. And we are asking for you to make a commitment of $5 a month to your community radio station. That would be $60 a year. And for that, we would love to be able to thank you with a black beanie. This is a KBOO beanie that really would show it's a cotton made in the U.S. And it would really show that you are representing your values. You are wearing the radio, the media. You are wearing the information on you, and you are letting the rest of the community know this is how you get your source of information. These are your airwaves, folks. You need to claim them right now by calling 877-500-5266. You can also go online at kboo.fm to make your donation. And so $5 a month will come out of your account. It could be a credit card, it could be a checking account, it can be whatever kind of account that you are wanting to connect with. And we are interested in finding out how we can get more of you to support us on a monthly basis, because when you do that, we know that funds are coming, and we are able then to come onto the airways less time, actually, because we know you've already committed to your community radio station. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Again, to claim the airwaves. These are your airwaves. The radio airwaves are for the people. They are for us to be able to broadcast and talk about the issues that matter to us. Unfortunately, when you tune in to a radio station or even to any kind of media these days, do you really feel that the people are in power? I do not. I do not get to hear my fellow citizens, my fellow human beings talking to me and fellow community members telling me what matters to them when I tune into most media. Only on KBOO Radio do I get to hear my neighbor, my storekeeper, my community member, my librarian talking to me about the issues that matter to them, but also the folks on the street. Maybe I do not know their name, maybe they are houseless, but their opinion also matters. And only when we get all of this information all together do we get to make the best decision for our collective future. Folks, KBOO has been here for 50 years doing that, helping us make the most informed decision about our collective future. Please give us a call right now to make your commitment to this collective future. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Again, 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm and click on the donate button. Maybe you have a smartphone and you have a KBOO app. You can just open your app and just click on the donate button there. Maybe you're walking around. I hope you're not under this rain and thunder, but if you are, please come find shelter here at KBOO. We are at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We would love to treat you to a cup of coffee or water or whatever else and dry you out and talk to you about how this is your community radio station. 877-500-5266, or again, come on down at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue to meet our volunteer, meet our programmer, meet Ibrahim and Lisa, who are here once a month for Right to Survive Radio. They are putting a lot of effort into creating the best content, into bringing to you the most accurate information so we can all be informed. If you are informed thanks to Right to Survive Radio, give us a call right now and say thank you. 877-500-5266. In return, we will thank you with a black beanie. If you want the beanie, you need to call now. 877-500-5266. This is your community radio station.
Alright, welcome back everyone to Right to Survive Radio. And I hope you all get that pledge information, because as she said, we do our best to give out the best and latest update information, what's going on in the houseless community and awareness. And 503-231-8187 is the call-in number. If you have any questions for our guests or for me, for all of us, or you just have a comment you want to make. 503-231-8187.
Alejandra, I wanted to ask you quickly, who and Donovan, who are the who are the organizations that are part of the Portland Harbor Community Coalition? And then I want to get back to talking about the fish advisory.
Well, let's do the Fish Advisory Board first. That would be
okay,
good.
We can mix it up.
Yeah.
<Okay.
laughs> All right. So, yeah, with the Fish Advisory, you know, I think it was in 2004 that the first one was issued, just restricting which fish people should be eating, the resident fish specifically. And that's what people have been working off for years now, a decade plus. But just earlier this year, the Oregon Health Authority revisited it and republished a new fish advisory. And now it stretches past the Portland Harbor, which is really important to note because now it's from the Selwood Bridge all the way out to Sulvey's Island. So the Superfund site itself hasn't been expanded, but the health advisory, the part where there's dangerous fish to be consuming, has been expanded. So we have to take in consideration how long have people been fishing in a part of the river that they thought was safe, but actually wasn't as safe as we thought. But it's something that we need to be hyper aware of now that even past the Superfund site, it's not the safest for people to be consuming the resident fish. So
on these fish advisories, shows mm-hmm. the type of fishes or which fish you yeah. can't eat, like piranhas, barracudas, sharks. I mean, those dangerous fish to yeah. me. You know? So now we got implants in fish. We fill them with toxin and send them to public way and kill them. Huh?
So of the native or the resident fish in the Willamette, what are safe levels of fish to consume?
What are safe? Well, for the carp, the bullhead, or the catfish that we more commonly call it as, and the bass, is zero. You can't have any of
none.
It. Catfish?
Oh, shoot. They targeted the black community, didn't they? No fried catfish.
But, you know, there's also some other ones like the crappie. You can have two a month and be safe. You know, the crayfish, you can have two a month and be safe, according to the Oregon Health Authority.
Bottom dwellers?
These guys are all the bottom feeders. So they're the ones that are taking that sediment, they're eating it, and then passing it along to us when we consume them. And you know how nature is wild. Some of the fish will eat other fish, and then they're taking on even more toxins. And then we, when we consume them, are taking on even more of a gut punch of toxins. So, yeah, we're not talking about the salmon. You know, the salmon kind of just swing through for a second, and they're safe to consume. We're not really talking about the steelheads. You know, we're talking about fish who really spend their life in that Portland Harbor and are sitting in that mess of chemicals that the industries dumped into our river. Yep.
Okay. Let's go back to the first part of my question that we switched up. Can you tell me who some of the coalition partners are?
Yeah, so the way we kind of group our partners, so we kind of have separated with two. We have our core partners that kind of make up impacted communities, and some of those would be like Iraqi Society of Oregon, Eastern European Coalition, Right to Survive. I believe it's also Donovan, you wanna?
Yeah, Wisdom of the Elders, NAACP,
Get Hooked
Foundation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then in terms of supportive partners, we've got the Audubon Society,
Sierra Club. So that one's kind of a longer list. So we also recently added PALF. Well, who else we have? We have Willamette Riverkeeper, Woodlawn Mike.
Yeah,
We have a pretty good long list.
Neighborhood associations like
Job
the Lent Neighborhood,
Jobs with Justice.
We're always yeah. constantly trying to add. So if you know someone who wants to be our partner and yeah. think would be a good fit, please let us know. We have a Facebook page, so for sure.
Hit us up.
Okay, sounds good. By the end of the show, we'll make sure we get some ways to contact you online. Mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit about the addressing some of the problems of the cleanup? How is PHCC addressing them?
Yeah, so PHCC right now, one of our biggest campaigns, which is like really huge for us, is a community benefits agreement, or CBA for short, as we like to call it. And basically what a CBA is a good faith binding contract signed between community groups and responsible parties for cleaning up the Superfund. And basically, this CBA will kind of provide benefits for the community, such as jobs, affordable housing, public access to the river, access to land, having pollution control, making sure polluters pay. All of this is kind of what we're trying to secure with this CBA and making sure we're doing negotiations with these responsible parties. And we've already had like ongoing conversations with these people, and there's actually over 150 responsible parties, which is an insane amount of people. And some of those would include like Exxon, Chevron, Schnitzer Steel, Gunderson, Port of Portland, the city. So we've had like certain conversations with some of these people about this CBA, and we've kind of just been pushing that forward. And actually, a CBA has never really been done for a Superfund site, so this is something really unique about our coalition and what we're trying to do. So,
Hasn't it been done before?
Maybe Donovan, any thoughts? Chime in?
I think CBAs are being used more when we're looking at development projects. It's kind of a newer tool, and we're seeing it being used on large-scale projects. And I'm not as familiar with all the Superfunds around the country, but I know this is one of the more complicated ones. So it falls in the realm of kind of like large infrastructure projects, because this is going to be a long-term thing. It does involve like Fortune 500 companies. It does involve the city. It involves a lot of the major players in what makes this city tick. And so like CBA makes sense, a lot of sense in this case. I think, what we've seen also, though, like with Superfund sites, is sometimes they can be unintentionally like tools of like gentrification. Communities who traditionally have been subject to Superfund sites a lot of times are Black and brown communities that were looked at and say, okay, we can dump this over here, we can do this activity over here. So that has happened. Environmental racism has happened a lot in our communities, and then when people step in to quote unquote do right by those communities, a lot of times those cleanups don't happen necessarily with the community fully engaged in the process. And so that really is where, Portland Harbor has come in. And, because we are a true coalition, because we are truly engaging with all our different partners and stakeholders, the notion of a community benefits agreement came up. It wasn't something that we were looking at from the outset. Originally, when PACC was getting going, we were just trying to put eyes on it. We're just trying to put eyes on the monster of the Superfund site. And we've been able to do some incredible things, even in like pushing for the most public comments and getting the final cleanup plan out of our region. We got the most public comments in collaboration with our partners. But as this work has evolved, now we're in the point where we're trying to negotiate the CBA. So the city of Portland, not the government agent, but our city could really be a leader and thinking about how Superfund sites continue to move.
Okay. 503-231-8187 is the call-in number. You have any questions or any comments you want to make about, hey, keeping healthy, clean water in Portland. We all know this is a houseless talk show, and we address houseless issues, and we go where no other news or radio station go. We go to Ground Zero in the houseless community. So when we come back, we'll tell you all how, we'll discuss how this ties in with the houseless community. Now we're going to go on another break. 503-231-8187 is the call-in number.
You are listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO Portland. This is your community radio station. I'm Del, and I'm here to ask you to call with your support for KBOO 877 877- 800-500-5266. We have a goal of $400 this hour to support Right to Survive Radio. And if four of you were to call with $100, we would be done. So are you a monthly listener to Right to Survive Radio? Are you actually a weekly listener to our Wednesday evening programming? Are you actually a daily listener of KBOO? If any of these apply to you and you are not yet a member, you are missing out. These are your airwaves and you need to claim them right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to make your contribution to your community radio station. You may also go online to kboo.fm and make your donation this way. When you become a member now, you will be entered to win a prize. So call 877-500-5266 for your chance to win today a $200 gift certificate to the Rebuilding Center. You can also go to kboo.fm for rules and details on all the prizes. But if you call right now, you will get entered to win a $200 gift certificate to the Rebuilding Center. Any donation that you make right now will get you a chance to be entered in this drawing, which is amazing because this is how KBOO comes to you. KBOO comes to you with all kinds of ways to thank you back for the amazing support that you bring us. So when you call right now, 877-500-5266, you can talk to our volunteers and they will help you decide what is the kind of thank you that you would like us to send you as a token of our appreciation. We really hope that you would select one of our t-shirt or maybe even the KBOO hoodie, because these will really help us really help show the community who you support, where your money goes. It's important in this day and time that we really show who it is that we support. Where do our money go? This is very, very telling about us, about how we are contributing to our community. 877-500-5266. Again, these are your A waves to claim when you call this number. And this hoodie, if you are wondering, is two-sided. So there is the logo on the side to the left pocket, and then there is also in the back the full logo taking the whole back with also the different call letters for the different frequencies. The Portland frequency, the Hood River frequency, the Gorge frequency. And so this is something that you could get as a token of our appreciation when you call right now, 877-500-5266, and pledge $25 a month or make a $300 donation. This is your community radio station, and we need you to show your love and support. Right to Survive Radio is here once a month to bring you the most important issues that are facing the houseless community. If you are housed, how do you know about the issues that are facing the houseless community? Are you in conversation with these folks? Do you talk to the people who live in your communities? And if you don't, I encourage you to start doing so and to tune in more frequently to KBOO so that you can hear the perspectives of folks directly from the airwaves to you. 877-500-5266, 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can also go online to kboo.fm, or again, as I say, come on down to meet us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We're right between Southeast Burnside and Ankeny, and we would love to meet you. We would love to be introduced to you. It is great to be part of this community with all of you, but some of you we do not know. Some of you we do not yet know that we are part of this community together. And when you become a member, this is the way that you do that. You tell us, you matter, KBOO matters, and I want to matter for KBOO too. And as I say, we got lots of ways to thank you and to show you that you matter. 877-500-5266. Please call now. 877-500-5266. 5266 or go online to kboo.fm. Maybe you can pull out your smartphone and just use your app and click on the donate button there. You can also come visit us at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. We always love to meet folks, and we would take whatever you are interested in contributing tonight. 877-552-66. No matter how much you donate or what you donate, what it's important is that you do it now. Claim those airwaves, folks. They are yours. 877-552-66. This is your community radio station.
All right. Welcome back to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. If you have any questions, anything you're curious about today's show, call us at 503-231-8187. And as I promised before we took that break for the pledge, make that pledge so you can hear more, get more information about the houseless community, because they are human also. Now, how do the houseless community connect that intersectionality with Portland Harbor Community Coalition and the Superfund site?
Well, I mean, Right to Survive has been a part of the coalition pretty much from the jump. So that has been a huge connection for us to be able to you know, establish what our priorities are as a coalition. And one of the things that has emerged from the coalition in terms of our priorities is making sure that as these cleanups happen, as, you know, these companies are starting to put these big old machines in the water and dredge up what's at the bottom of the river, we want to make sure the people who are living out of, you know, along the river, out of necessity, there's some real protocol, like, for how they're engaged with, you know, having notices, like, you know, a month, maybe even more, notice that these things are going to happen, and making sure that they're being engaged with humanely. You know, you got people who are sleeping along the river right now. You got people who are fishing in the river out of need. You know, people staying in boats.
And that's what I was going to. Yeah. And that's what I was, you know, getting to. That you have poor people out of necessity, out of need, mm-hmm. that living on the waterfront. And how can we tell them they hungry, their children hungry, or they pet hungry? Not to eat that fish because it's toxic. Not to grow vegetation in the sediment because it would be toxic. Not to bathe or drink that water because it's toxic. Mm-hmm. And what about along the, like, we just read recently in the Willamette, not the Willamette, the Oregonian, about the boat fires, how poor people are living on boats because they being forced out of the necessity of the high price of apartment, affordable housing, they living on their boats and stuff. So this affects all of that community, but the houseless community.
For sure. And you were actually correct. It was the Willamette Week that yeah. published an article recently about the fire that happened along the Columbia to several people's boats who were, like you said, staying in those boats out of necessity. There are a lot of people out there, and, you know, there's different sweeps happening, you know, day by day. So, you know, who's staying at one part of the river today might not be there tomorrow, but we know people are staying there. And we want to make sure that they benefit from this cleanup as well. And, you know, part of not just in terms of protocol for how these businesses and agencies, like, engage with the communities that live there once the cleanup starts. We don't want just that as a benefit, but You know, hopefully we can train some of those people to become stewards of the river. That's a really big thing. We want to make sure that they, you know, have some ownership, and not the type of ownership that polluted the river, but some ownership and some pride in the river. And, you know, that's something that we want to move forward in the coming years.
Basically, you want to make it public and not private, where all forms, shapes, and fashions of life can enjoy and be there,
right.
And make it not like we don't want a casino on the riverfront. We don't want condominiums on the riverfront. We want accessible housing and work that we create for the people that's out of work, the people who been in that area, like the Native American, like the Iranians, or the people that's been dislocated from housing and stuff, or the Hispanic community. All of that. Okay,
we have about 15 minutes left in the show, and before we get back to talking about some more about the community benefits, the CBA agreements, there's two questions I would like to pose to our audience, and maybe you'll call in. What should the top priorities for the City of Portland public involvement program so it meets the needs of the most impacted communities? And besides top priorities for the city, what concerns and or questions do you have or do you hear about the Portland Harbor Superfund? The call-in number for either one of these questions is 503-231-8187. All right, Alejandra, let's go back to the community benefits agreement. We've talked about the major polluters, and we talked that the CBA is kind of a new idea that really hasn't been done before. If these large corporations sign on and agree to be part of the community benefits agreement, how will the coalition be able to hold them accountable?
That's a great question. Something we've talked about in the coalition is kind of creating an oversight committee made up of the impacted communities to kind of keep these polluters accountable for what they sign on to. So if they're saying, yes, we're going to get jobs for the houses community during this cleanup process, then we want to make sure that they're actually doing that and keeping them accountable to that, and in hopes that that's what this oversight committee will do. We haven't really planned it out exactly what this oversight committee is going to look like, because we're still in the early steps of this CBA and still kind of crafting it. So we still have a long way to go in terms of figuring out every single detail. But yeah, so I think an oversight committee was kind of what we were planning on doing for this.
I have another question. Would Portland Harbor Community Coalition consider themselves like a watchdog organization for the polluters and for the hold the EPA to the standards that they're claiming?
Yeah, I definitely think I would consider us, like you said, a watchdog.
Bow wow.
Woof, woof. That's who we are.
Oh, woof, woof. We the big dog.
Yeah, huh? We're pit bulls. After these polluters and, you know, making sure that EPA is doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, this coalition is not just also here for to keep the polluters accountable, but also making sure that the community is involved in this cleanup process. Again, we were here to make sure that they have a voice during this cleanup process, and I'm always uplifting that voice, making sure that the polluters are hearing the community. So yeah, I would say we are all the watchdogs, the community, people who live by the river, the houses community, everyone. We're all trying to make sure we're keeping eyes on these the polluters and the EPA and whoever is responsible for this mess of a river.
So this is definitely a precedence setting model, a coalition model, that if things go the way the coalition hopes they go, and the EPA and the polluters and responsible parties all stay on board and commit to these agreements, and PHCC is in the forefront of navigating them, it would really possibly set new policy changes moving forward. Has the coalition even imagined or thought about that?
I think we're like in the middle of the work right now. We're recognizing, especially through, you know, the CBA, what this could really do in terms of like other cities and other parts, even the state, that are dealing with Superfunds, could be doing in terms of community engagement. And we are definitely cognizant that as we continue to do the work that we're doing, that we want to make sure that we are truly doing it in a coalition strategy. And, you know, we've significantly moved the needle on how this process is going to look. And we know that at the end of this cleanup, we can definitely look back and say Portland Harbor Community Coalition did that. So we do want to continue fighting to make sure that our cleanup is something that other places can look to as a model.
503-231-8187 is the call-in number if you have any questions. We're ready to go to pledge right now. Make that call at 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Ibrahim. Yes, 877-500-5266. This is the number to call to make you pledge your support to KBOO. I'm Del, and I'm here fascinated with this show because where else do you get to hear what our fellow community members are doing to protect all of us and to ensure that a true cleanup is happening? A coalition is helping us make sure that that we are holding folks accountable. 877-500-5266 is just, if just like me, you are amazed at the fact that here on those airwaves, we are presenting to you what the people are doing, not what the big folks are doing, the politicians or those who have a lot to say and very little to do. No, what are actually fellow community members doing on the streets, on the ground, to hold those folks accountable, whether they are elected officials or whether they are corporations that have been using the river forever and ever without thinking about the repercussion for all of us, including the houseless community. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We are here in our fall membership drive. We have just a few more minutes to raise a few hundred dollars. So please, if you are a KBOO listener, if you are loving this community, what you hear on those airwaves, because you know you don't hear it anywhere else, it is a process for us to come to you a couple of times a month, and we do that because we want to stay independent. We do not want to look for sources of funding elsewhere than in our community. Our community is where the commitment is. As you can hear, coalitions are being coming together in order to support our environmental need in this community. Folks are coming together to bring you the perspective of the houseless community here on a monthly basis. This is what we do. We are a community service, and you are an essential part of this. This is participatory media. You are an essential part of it indeed. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to make this official commitment. Yes, I am a part of this community. I am a part of this process. I share some of my financial wealth so this community resource can flourish and continue to flourish. This is 50 years in the making. We should be proud. We have made this happen. We claim the airwaves ways when we give to KBOO, 877-500-5266. We make the airwaves accessible for the public. These are the voices of our fellow community members. None of us, very few of us, have degrees in journalism, communications, or anything like this here at KBOO, because your dollars help us train folks for free in order to be on the air, in order to bring you what's important in a format that makes sense for the radio. That's what you do when you call 877-500-5266. You can also go online to kboo.fm and click on the donate button. Also, we love to meet people in person. So come down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue if you would like to meet us. If you would like to see and meet Donovan and Alejandra, who are doing this work, if you have questions for them, phone is cool, but in person, we get more accomplished. 877-500-5266. This is why we have been coming together here in this building for 35 years and under the KBOO umbrella for 50 years. This is what your dollars do. They help continue this community resource being passed on and those airwaves to stay the voice, the airwaves of the people, sharing, amplifying the voices of the people, not the voices that are amplified on every other media that you would tune to. You know what I'm talking about, folks. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, or kboo.fm. It is now your time to make your pledge, your support for Right to Survive Radio, for the work that Ibrahim and Lisa are doing, for the work that all volunteers here are bringing forward. Again, this is an independent radio station. This is your media resource. This is your community radio station. It is time for now to claim the airwaves, to amplify your voice, amplify all the voices that don't get heard anywhere else. You have a role to play, and it is now that you play it by calling us at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Folks, this is your community radio station.
Okay, welcome to this last segment of Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. We need 10 more people to call in and make that pledge. If you're giving $1.50, taking in pop cans, make that pledge to keep us on this radio. So they found today, we found out that they had a new toxin in the river, and it's called, what, benzopyrene? Can y'all describe that briefly, and then we can continue to...
Yeah, so benzopyrene, it's a PAH, which is a term that I can't break down the full breadth
of it. In layman's term, it's poison.
It's another toxin. And so, you know, it took 20 years to get the cleanup plan essentially out that came out last year. But at the federal level, for like the last 5 years, they've been doing some reevaluations of different toxins. And so benzopyrene was one of them. And so now at the local level, they're kind of looking at Portland Harbor and going to open up a public comment period for the community at large to say, do we want to still clean this thing up? You know, and benzopyrene, like we said, is a toxin. It even can aid in causing cancer. So it's something that we don't know when that public comment period is going to happen, but we know it's going to be happening here soon. And, you know, the EPA doesn't have to open it up to the public, but they are going to. And so we want to make sure we utilize that time for the public to really inform themselves about this toxin and, you know, show up and really show out once it's time to comment, because as we heard today from the EPA, right now their plan is to only have like one public forum about it, and then have a webinar about it. But We really need to take advantage of that time.
Yeah, I also think something important to think about in terms of this is that they're only cleaning up 13% of this river. So when we're thinking about, they're opening up again to talk about this benzoapyrene, and if we should think about maybe lessening up the cleanup amount, it's like we're already getting 13%, which is really not that much. So it's really important for people to come out when this public comment kind of opens up, you know, when APA releases that information to people, for people to be there and kind of let people know, like, hey, this is not okay, and we do not want to lessen up the cleanup. And if you follow us on Facebook, we can probably post it on there when that public comment is going on, so people can show up for that. We can train you, prep you for that, and provide scripts or whatever people need in order to be ready for that day.
And I'm sure you're going to have something on your website, some announcement. What is your website?
Yeah, so you can find us online at www.ourfutureriver.org. So that's OURfutureRiver.org. And then you can also find us on social media, all social media platforms at Our Future River, same spelling, OUR Future River. So that's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and really quick, I want to let you guys know about our upcoming events. So we're going to have a water ceremony September 22nd at Cathedral Park from 10 to 2 p.m. So if people can make it out to that, that'd be awesome. We're partnering with American Indian Movement to kind of bring this event, and it's going to be dancing, food, all of that. We also have this volunteer training happening October 20th at Woodlawn Mike from 11 to 1. If you want to get involved with our coalition, volunteer, and become a spokesperson or just get leadership development, that'll be a great opportunity to show up there. And you can get all these updates on our social media, as Donovan said, Our Future River, for every of our platforms.
And can you tell us when you meet? The days and time.
We also have coalition meetings every third Thursdays at Woodlawn Mike from 6 to 8 p.m. And we're going to be at Right to Survive meeting tomorrow. So catch us there.
At Sisters of the Road on 6th and Davis from 5 to 7 p.m. Cool. And we can continue our discussion there. If you want to hear more, come on out and join us.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Right to Survive Radio. It was great for being here.
Yep.
Thank you for being our guest tonight. And thank you, audience, for tuning in to Right to Survive. Please join us again, and remember, be kind.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 7 o'clock.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast provided by